Matthew chapter 6. Let's focus our attention on verses 5 through 14. Matthew 6, verses 5 through verse 14. When you find it, it reads, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Amen.
Amen.
The word of God. Amen. We are blessed by reading, and especially by living it out in our day-to-day lives. Continue today in our Praetorianaires series, where we have been looking at the lives of those who understand the true value of prayer. And do their, and they show that by their rich, vibrant, effective prayer on in a way that when you see their lives are characterized by that type of prayer. We've looked at various of these individuals. We've looked at David and Daniel and Nehemiah and Jabez and Anna. Paul and the church praying for Peter. We've looked at various characters of Scripture who may fit under the heading of being a Praetorianaire. I said when we began this series, the reason why I coined that term is because I wanted you to realize with the right kind, that the right kind of prayer life makes you rich,
right,
spiritually, as millionaires and billionaires are material. And often, if the truth be known in God's economy, your spiritual riches flowing only.
Come on now.
Then your material riches.
Amen.
Well, come down to a couple of them. Let the Holy Spirit say something different. I got a couple of more sermons to complete this day and maybe next week. And we want to look at now Jesus. Because nobody knows prayer like Jesus knew prayer. I want to entitle this sermon, Jesus' Prayer Illionaires Conference, Part 1. Right. Jesus' Prayer Illionaires Conference, Part 1.
All right.
We'll do Part 2 next week. We looked at all the other, so many of the other characters of Scripture. Now we come to the best speaker, the best teacher of them all.
Amen. Right.
And that's Jesus himself.
Amen. Right.
And we want to see what we can learn from him. So we title that. It is like him speaking to us through his word in a conference setting to teach us about prayer. Let's look at the verses. Because, you know, I have found often when one is learning something, that before you can really learn a subject, sometimes or often you have to unlearn something.
Okay.
You with me?
Okay.
A lot of times when you're trying to learn something, the first thing you have to do is to unlearn something.
Right.
So as we let Christ speak to us through his word, the first thing he teaches us, before he teaches us how to pray, he teaches us how not to pray.
Right.
Y'all with me so far?
Oh, yeah.
So, Lord, teach us how not to pray. Teach us what we need to unlearn before we can really learn how to pray. And firstly, as I look at verse 5 and 6, I want to say what he does not want us to do in prayer is roll prayer. R-O-L-E.
Okay.
Roll prayers. It's like playing a role. Playing a role. You know, an actor plays a role. And he calls them hypocrites in those verses. And that word hypocrite comes from Greek hypokratos, which means, which was in Jesus' time, an actor that was behind a mask, performing for an audience, performing a role. He said, the way I don't want you to pray is to pray role prayers. Not only are there role players, but there are role prayers. He said, don't play a role when you pray.
Right.
Prayer. Because that's what a lot of the leaders in Christ's time were doing. They were playing a role before an audience.
Right.
And their reward was the applause of the audience.
Right.
Christ says, if you are a role prayer, then you already have your reward.
All right.
Because what you wanted amen, was the attention and applause of the people.
Yeah.
So now you have the attention and the reward of the people. So don't expect me to reward you. You already have your reward. That's what I call road prayers. Cut a little air on you. Anybody hot or not? Y'all know how? Make sure that one was not on heat. Cut it on air with your brother Carter. About 70 or 69, somewhere up in there. 80, I'm sorry, y'all. I hadn't noticed that. All right, but not only does he say not to be role prayers, but secondly, don't be rote prayers. Y'all with me?
W-R-O-T-E.
Rote. R-O-T-E.
Oh, rote?
Rote. Okay. R-O-T-E. Rote means it's a thing, it's a mechanical repetition.
Okay.
It's like rote is how most of us learn our times tables, by saying them over and over and over again.
Okay.
That's what we call rote. Rote is how we learn the Pledge of Allegiance.
Right.
You know, by saying it in school, said it every morning. Now, I remember saying it, but, you know, there was a long time, even though I was saying it, there was a long time before I understood what I was saying. So I was saying empty words. I didn't know what allegiance was. Not when I was a little kid in elementary school. Star Spangled Banner.
That's good.
Learned to sing it. Some of those words, spangled, I didn't know what spangled was. Ramparts, didn't know what ramparts was. But we had learned, wrote, after saying it, repeating it over and over again. We memorized the words, but they were empty words because we did not know what the words mean. And often a rote prayer is a prayer that you repeat, and they're empty.
Yeah.
Because even though they're your words, they didn't come from your heart. They're just something you remember.
Okay.
You got to be careful. Because rote praying takes away from the richness of prayer. Because every time you say the same words.
Amen.
Some of you might know the rote prayers. Some of you may be rote prayers. Amen. In a certain denomination, they pray our Father, or what we sometimes call the Lord's Prayer, or the Model Prayer, and they'll go through all the words. If you grew up in a certain school, then you'll know all those words, but you may not catch the meaning behind the words. And sometimes when you rote pray, you know, you got your public prayer words, that every time you pray in public, you pray those same words. What has started to happen as you pray those words, but you're praying those words because that's a habit, not what you mean at the time.
Right.
So you're not praying sincerely or from your heart. You're just praying what you remember. But there's no meaning in it. Now there's something that we've written, even written prayers. There's nothing wrong with a written prayer because when you wrote it, you were thinking that this is what I want to say to God. And you brought it in the public because, especially like a lot of times, this is like an invocation at a graduation of some form of being. You really meant that you wanted, you know what you wanted to say, you wrote it down so you wouldn't forget, but that's sincere from you to God. When you say it, I'm okay with that. But now if you just find something in the book that somebody else gave for an invitation and read it, then that's a totally different answer. So he don't want us, he doesn't want us, he said, wait, not to pray, don't pray, roll prayers, don't pray, rope prayers, and lastly, don't pray religious prayers. What do you mean, Pastor? Don't pray religious prayers. You got to understand where I'm coming from this morning. When I say religion, I'm not talking about being followers of Christ, because I don't put being a follower of Christ in a religious category. It's sort of, being a follower of Christ has a certain uniqueness. There's something unique about being a Christian and a follower of Christ than other religions. All other religions, people are trying to earn God's reward or God's pleasure in them, or earn God's heaven. You're trying to earn God. You're trying to earn your way up to God. You're trying to do something that makes you acceptable to God. That's what religion is. Religion is trying to do enough good to make yourself acceptable to God by your accomplishments, by your good. Well, some, and this is right in the second point of verse 7, it says, they say prayers over, you saying it over and over, repeat it over and over. Number one is rote. But you do it over and over, because you say, if I can pray enough, if I can pray enough time, if I can pray long enough, then I earn God's answer. I will earn that reward because I pray so much and I pray so long. So you're trying to earn something for God with your prayer. You're trying to earn, that's the key word. You're trying to earn something from God. Religion always tries to earn something from God. Jesus says, don't pray that way. For they think that they will be heard. If I just pray enough, God will hear me. For there are many words. Do not be like them. You don't have to. For your Father knows what you need before you ask.
Yeah.
One way to tell if you fit into any of these categories: roll prayer, rote prayer, or religious prayer, is that you pray more in public than you do in private.
That's good. Amen.
If you pray more in public than you do in private, and if you pray private prayer publicly, then you probably fit into one of those categories. Rote prayer, religious prayer. So think about it. And this usually comes from people who've been in church a while, hold leadership positions. Often they will find themselves praying more at church and before the church than they pray at home. Jesus says, don't pray like this. So the way he says for us to start praying effectively, you start praying effectively by stop praying anything.
Right.
So you start by stopping. But after you start by stopping, then you start by starting. start doing it the right way.
Yeah.
That's what he's trying to say to us. I'm trying to make that clear. All right. Let me make sure. Let me catechize just a little bit here. Make sure you got that point. All right. The three ways for, he said, for us not to pray. Everybody needs to say this room out, man. Make sure you got it. If you will. The first way, what?
Roll prayers.
Second is?
Rope prayers.
And the third is?
Religious.
Got great prayers. Now let's get to the point. We done learn how not to pray. Amen. We done unlearn the way we pray ineffectively.
Right.
Now we want to learn how to pray effectively. We want to start now by starting. Look at verse. The first point I want to make. If you look, hope you got the Bible open. Hope you got the Bible. Say the proof by one point. This out in verse 5. It says when. Y'all see that? In verse 7, it says, and when? When? That means you need to have a time to pray. I've talked about that before. If you don't have a time set aside to pray, you're probably not going to get to pray.
That's real.
You got to set aside the time. You got to prioritize the prayer. If you don't set aside the time, the busyness of your life, all the other things that you have to do,
yes,
the urgency of other things will take all your time, and you won't have time for the most important thing,
which
is prayer. So that will be a time when. And the fact that it says, and when you pray, it's, if you are a follower of Christ, it's indicative
that you pray. Yeah.
If you don't pray, you may have to look and see if you're really a follower. Yeah.
Right.
Because followers are characterized. Where we got here? Followers are characterized by prayer. Mm-hmm. If your life is not characterized by prayer, then you might need to check and look. Because there's something defective about your discipleship. You may or may not be a follower. If you're not a follower, or you're a follower, but you're not following him in a way that you're going to grow as a believer and be victorious.
Right.
So time. And then it says, look back at verse 6, I need to point out another thing. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to the Father who is in the secret. Not only do you got to have a time to pray, you got to have a place to pray.
Right.
Time to pray, place to pray.
Yep.
All effective. If you want to be like Daniel had a place to pray. And everybody knew Daniel's place. Everybody knew Daniel was going to be at the window 3 times a day. So every time you go to that place, it seemed like that. When you got to pray for prayer, every time you go to that place, it seems like that spirit of prayer. Come on. You don't have time to pray and a place to pray. Okay, verse 9. That's where we're going to try to pray now. Jesus said, this is the way I want you to pray. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven. Now, look at this. Pray. Our is in mine. Okay. Verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Verse 12. And forgive us our debts. As we also give our debts. Okay. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's not that the prayer, you should pray with a sense of community. Because prayer is a community thing, not a selfish thing.
All
You don't see those words because it's there's such a sense of when you pray effectively, there's a sense of community. It's not all about me. And even when I ask something for me, I'm asking for it because I'm part of a community. Prayer is the children's communication. Prayer is the communication that belongs to the children of God.
Yeah.
That's why he said, say, our Father. If we're going to say our Father, that means this prayer is for his children. So first thing you need to be sure is you're a child of God. If you're going to pray this prayer. Because this prayer is for the children of God. It's their prayer. He said, now you pray. Our Father. And that's why I say this is not a written. When Jesus teaches us how to pray, he uses the three R's. The first one that we're talking about now is relationship. Our prayer is based upon relationship. Not religion, but relationship. See, religion is like when you're bored at a house. You know, you're paying and somebody rent your room, or maybe they rent your whole house, but you're there because you give them, you pay them something, and what they expect, and then you have rules and things, and when you meet these things, okay, they say, okay, since you paid me what I expect, what I ask for, I'll give you my house, this room, for a certain amount of time. It's an agreement made. So you're living there because you gave something in order to get something back. You with me? So you live there because of what you do. That's religion. Religion says, you owe me something because of what I do.
Okay.
That's religion. Religion says, God, you owe me because of what I do. So you, people who are religious have a sense of entitlement.
Okay.
Oh, God, you know, I come to church every Sunday. I've been coming for a month now.
Okay.
So I need you to bless me. Oh, God, you know I'm a good provider, so I need you to bless me because you told me that I'm trying to be what you asked me to be. So you owe me something. And then the other half of that is when you come to God with a religious way, when you don't live up to your responsibility, you feel like you're going to get put out at any time. Because you ain't paying what you were supposed to pay.
Okay.
So you feel guilty. You expecting, amen, you expecting eviction notice.
Yeah.
Because you have been living like you were supposed to live, so you expect an eviction notice from God. God said, here's an eviction notice. Get out of my presence. That's religion. That's religion.
Yeah.
But when we come to God and pray, it's not religion. It's a relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
That means I live in a house because I'm kin to the house owner.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. I live in a house not because of what I do, but because of who I am.
Yeah.
Amen. The Gabriella lives in a house not because of what she does. Because she don't have to do too much at home. Because she has older parents. Amen. So, you know, and parents like me who want things done a certain way, so I don't have to do it. So she lived there, but because it's not because of what she do or does, but because of who she is.
Yeah.
She's my daughter, so she gets to live. Amen. When she asks me for things, amen. She gets those, especially the things she needs, because of the relationship.
Right.
And not only does she get things, did she get some, not all, but some of the things she wants.
Yeah, right.
Because of relationship. Now, I got a friend to cut the yard. And, you know, he cuts the yard and I pay him. But if you ask me to my house, I said, no. You do something, but you ain't did that much. You just cut the yard. But here's somebody that don't cut the yard and live there because of the relationship. So we approach God not religiously, but we approach Him as our Father because of our relationship with Him.
Right.
How did He become our Father? He adopted us. He chose me. He didn't get to be, he didn't get to be my father because of something I did.
Yeah.
Amen. Sheriff was Buckner, most of y'all know that. And Buckner has a foster home and adoption agency. You can go there and have children, meet them. And if you feel like there's one you want to adopt, you can choose that one you want to adopt. And you go through all the different paperwork and things and pay what you need to pay. And if you cover, then you can adopt the child. You can adopt the one you chose. Nothing a child can do to be adopted or to make you his parents is what the parents do to get the daughter or the son. That's what it was for me. That's how. That's why I can pray God Father, not because I've been so good, or not because of what I've done, but I can pray our Father because I'm in a community of children, amen, and God has adopted all of us. He chose all of us, and because I'm part of that community, and I'm His child, I can ask, and He'll meet my needs. I gotta ask, though. Even though He knows what I need, He just got it like that. He just fixed it like that. Now, He's not like me. He's not like me. See, because Gabriel had to ask me because I forget. Or I don't know. She went to the last minute and said, do you have the money? I said, money for what? She said, whatever she needs money for. But see, I don't carry cash. Maybe a dollar too. I got a lot of cards, but I don't have no cash. So if she needs cash, we will have issues. I said, why come here to tell me this morning? Then I could have went to the bank. I went to the ATM and got the cash.
Yeah.
But she had to ask me in time. I can ask God. Because He already knows what I need.
Yeah.
Amen. And I can go to Him. And when I go to God, I know He's going to listen to me and ask me. Because I know God treats me way better than I treat Gabriel. He loved me way more.
Yeah, man.
And He's much greater God than I am a father. So, amen, if I'm sensitive to her needs and want to meet her needs and want to be a blessing to her and want her to have joy and happiness, I know when I ask God for something, He has that same deposition for me,
right,
exponentially greater, though.
Man. Right.
Our Father. And the father thing has a closest idea. Closest. So when you pray our Father, you really, the real thing about it, the real thing though, is you're coming to prayer not for what you can get from God, but you're coming to prayer for God. Because He's your Father.
Yeah.
And you like being around in a relationship with your Father. So you don't just come to Him to get from Him, but you come to Him in prayer to be with Him. Y'all understand that?
Because
sometimes we make prayer just to, we make prayer our ATM machine.
Come on now. Treat
Him
like a sugar daddy. Come on.
When we need something.
Yeah,
there we go. And pray in the card.
Yeah.
Amen. Here you go. God, this is what I need.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to ask you what you need when you put card in. $10. $10. I don't really need $10. I don't know if I got $10. I wonder if I can get $3 out. But most machines, you can't get $3. Except at Sam's. Sam would have to give you $2. Sam would give you everything that. There's one, I don't want to stick out, but the one I use, it'll give you strange amounts. You know, you have to do 5 to 10. You get some things in between 5 and 10. Wow, this is really neat shit. You understand what I'm saying? So we treat God like that. God is not saying, I'm not an ATM.
Right.
I'm your father. I adopted you. I chose you. I know when I adopted you. Amen. I had a responsibility to care for you. If I wasn't going to fulfill the kind of God I am, if I wasn't going to fulfill my responsibility to care for you, I would have never adopted you. I would have never chose you.
Yeah.
So I already know what it was going to take when I, amen, when I chose you. And to show you how committed I am to our relationship. Don't you realize the only way we can, reason we have this relationship is because I was willing to pay the cost of Calvary and die on the cross so we can have this relationship?
Right.
If I'm willing to pay that kind of price, don't you know I'll do whatever it takes to take care of you?
Yeah.
That's the one I pray to.
Yeah.
Our Father. Our Father. But see, unlike me, our Father is in heaven. There's a contrast between earthly father and a heavenly father.
Right.
An earthly father has limitations. Earthly fathers have brokenness. So sometimes, even the things we're supposed to do and have a responsibility to do, we always don't have the capability of doing it. Because we're broken people. We're grown in a perfect partnership. So even though we got the responsibility, we don't have the capabilities. Sometimes in a broken world, we know what our responsibility is, but we can't get the resources to fulfill that responsibility. That's the earthly father. But our Father, which art in heaven, has everything we need. Because he got the riches of heaven. He shall supply all of our needs by his richness in what? Glory. He's rich. I can never go to him. Say, God, this is what I need. Oh, run this shout. I wish I could give you that. But I'm running a little shout. God ain't never running a little shout. When the stock market go down, God still got it. When they lay off, amen, God still got it. When the unemployment rate is high, God still got it. Whatever happens, God still got it. He got everything that you need. And all he did is come to me and say, I'll fall. What a great one. You see what a privilege that is? Because when I come to him and say, you know, and I'm praying for stuff, a lot of times it's not stuff that if I had to earn it, I wouldn't go. I ain't did enough. But because I'm not coming out of a business relationship, I'm coming out of a family relationship. So, oh, yeah. Not because of what you've done, but because of who you are. I'm going to bless you. Because you're my child. I'm going to bless you. Because you're my child. I'm going to stand by. Our Father, which art. Second, first aura is relationship. The second aura is reputation. Hallowed be thy name. When you hollow some, you're saying that thing is most treasured, most important, most, you're saying that's the most treasured, the most important, the most valued thing in my life. Jesus said, when you pray, you're supposed to pray, God, act in a way that your name becomes the most treasured, the most valuable, the most important thing in my life and in the life of others. When people hear about your reputation and know how great you are, that's giving God glory. Glory. Glory is my character. See, now this is the contrast. Prayer is about God. Prayer is first and foremost about God's character, not our comfort. So don't pray, God. God, give me, make my life comfortable. All your prayers should not be, Lord, this is how I want you to make my life more comfortable. But first and foremost, you should be praying, God, God, I want you to act in a way that help people to know who you really are. How great and wonderful and loving and mighty and magnificent you are. It's more important that they know your character and that I know your character than it is for me to be comfortable. Call what is the worth? For a man to gain the whole world and be comfortable and lose his soul. The rich man who lived behind the gate where Lazarus lay at the gate, and Lazarus being a poor man who was such a condition that the dog felt sorry enough on the licking stool. And all Lazarus wanted was the crumb that fell from the rich man's table. But the rich man wouldn't even give him the crumb. He was living comfortable, eating comfortable. Life with him was comfortable. But the Bible says one day the rich man died. And one day Lazarus died. Lazarus got an angelic escort to help him. Abraham's bosom, the presence of the Lord, what it's called. And it's an Abraham's bosom, man. And he was in the bosom of Abraham. And he looked over. I mean, one of the ladies gave, they couldn't get crumb to fell on the rich man's table. But he was all right now. Amen. He had gotten this score. He's in heaven. He had comfort you can't even imagine. And he looks over, and the rich man that was living comfortable, now he's in torment. Yeah. He said, Lazarus, can you come over? Just, I don't have to have a whole glass of water. But I'm in such trouble if you let dip the tip of your finger in the water. And he was in such torment, he didn't even care about hygiene no more. He said, dip your finger in the water, come over and cool my tongue. Then put your finger on my tongue. I don't have to have no cup, it don't have to be clean. But I'm in such torment. Because he had comfort, but he didn't know the character of God. So God, let me know your character. I want to really know who you are. Act in a way. Now that doesn't mean God doesn't want us to have certain comforts, but they can't be our first priority in prayer. If you have to give up one, give up comfort in order to have character. But God is so good. Next week, not only will he give you character, he always give you more. He give you a little comfort too. I don't know how long they lived. I don't know how long the rich man lived. I don't know how long Larry lived out there by that gate. But even if they lived to be 100, and Larry out there by that gate suffering for 100 years, and the rich man had comfort for 100 years, but now thank eternity has no end. So you're talking about billions and trillions of years. If I had traded in, you know, I'd take the suffering for 100 to have comfort.
Yeah.
Hello, I want your name to be the most valuable, the most treasured, the most important thing for people to see your character. So not only that peace in that when you pray, it ought to be some praise in your prayer.
Yeah. Right.
Because in your prayer, you're saying, God, this is how you're trying to tell everybody. This is how good you are.
Yeah.
Folks listen, wow. Folks listen to you and you praise. Wow. Man, they get to know God's character through your praise. And not only through your praise, but through a walk in your daily life that matches your praise.
Right, right.
Because if you're praising him and saying you're the most valuable, you're the most wonderful, you're my God, and then in your everyday life, it's a conflict because you're not walking in a manner where people can see how important he is to you. Mm-hmm. Then you have a conflict between your praise and your lifestyle.
Right.
And they don't know what to believe.
Right.
Your praise. Or your lifestyle. They don't know what to believe. Your model or your message.
All right.
Hallowed, most treasured, most holy, most valuable thing in my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is your character, who you are, God. Who you are to me and who you are just being who you are everything. I want to know that. And I want other people to know that. The reason why, amen, we have mission is because everybody's not a worshiper.
Right. That's real.
See, God is worthy of the most extreme forms of worship. He's worthy of a complete and total worship. He's worthy of being the most valuable, the most important, the most treasured thing in everybody on earth's life because he's not that yet. Then we have to tell others about him.
Mm-hmm.
So he can become that in their life. Reason why we have mission because not everybody is a worshiper. Mission is for to turn everybody into a worshiper.
Right.
You gotta worship him. He's too good for you not to worship him.
Right.
Join me in the community and worshiping him. So, when we look at three R's of how to pray, relationship. Second R is not only must we have relationship, but it's all about his reputation. God give him glory. Let everybody know. We got to, it's about the fame of his name. You see how they conflict with what they're talking about before? Because the one that was praying out on the corner and was doing the role praying, it was about their name. But prayer is not supposed to be about the prayer's name, but prayer is supposed to be about the God of the universe's name.
Right, right. Amen.
So everybody can worship him. The contrast there. But lastly, after you get your relationship, and you're asking God in working away so people can really get to know your reputation. I think about that. I think about Daniel. Daniel, remember when they told Daniel, when he had a sermon, they told Daniel not Not prayed a lot. And then he went on and prayed. Mm-hmm. And he threw him in lion's den. Lion couldn't do him no harm. And the next day, amen. The next day, he said, hey, everybody needs to worship Daniel's God.
Yeah.
Because Daniel's God is the true and living God. He's the great God. So they wouldn't have known how great. See, Daniel probably said, Lord, when he was praying that woman, you're the most treasured, you're the most important, you're the most valuable being in the whole universe. I don't know what's going to happen, but I just want people to know how great you are. And God said, okay, want people to know how great I am. And maybe he got to go into the lion's den.
Right.
He went in the lion's den, there was no harm though.
Right.
God made him comfortable in the lion's den. And then when he came out unharmed, everybody got to know how great his God. That's what I'm saying. If he would have been praying just about comfort, come on, God. I don't really want to do the lying thing. Just save me from the lion. But if he'd been, you know, somewhere would happen where he didn't have to go with the lion, they would never know how great his God.
Right.
Last all, reign. R-E-I-G-N.
No, no, I'm not that great.
But that's reign. That means he is on the throne. He is sovereign.
Yeah.
Thy are your kingdom come. God wants your kingdom to come, and I want your will to be done. God, I want you to be in control of things. Because I know when you are in control, things will be perfect.
Right. Recognizing his authority. Yeah.
When you're in control, you look at the world and say, my world is messed up. My world is messed up. When you say my world is messed up, if you're talking about people from an individual standpoint, you are saying there's some things in my life is messed up. My finances is messed up. My marriage is messed up. I'm messed up on the job. God, my word, I'm messed up as a parent. I'm messed up here and I'm messed up there. My whole world messed up. And then, not only is you in the middle, sometimes you look all around you and it's messes all around you. We live in a messed up world. Our political system is messed up. Healthcare messed up.
Yeah.
Job place messed up. Everything messed up. Neighborhood messed up. And he said, God, the only way things that are messed up will go back to the masterpiece, because you were the masterpiece when you had the God, but we messed it up with our sin. The only way we're going to get back to that masterpiece. Only way we'll get back to Shalom again is for you being
controlled. Yeah.
Now, when we say that, when we pray, we're praying for two things. Number one, we're praying eschatology, or in the eschaton, or at the eschaton, eschatology means at the end time. When everything comes to an end, he will reign perfectly. Every knee will have to bow.
Right.
Every tongue will have to confess
right.
who he is, how great he is. At the end, he will reign and we'll have a great world. But until then, that's what he wants to answer that prayer. It won't be perfect until then. But, amen, right now, even though there's not perfection won't come, but through the people whose life he reigned in, that would be some progress.
All right.
See, when he reigned in my life, the things that I have control over, he ought to make me a better person, better husband, better parent, better employee, better neighbor, because he's in charge of my life. Amen. So now if he's in charge of my life and I become better, then somehow my household become better.
Right.
Then if he's in charge of my neighbor's life and my neighbor's household become better, then we got two houses on the block.
Yeah.
Now, if he's in charge of everybody on the block,
right.
then we get a better block.
Yeah.
And if he's in charge, amen, of the whole city, we get a better city.
Yeah.
And then a better state, amen. Then a better neighborhood. vision and then a better plan. All because he's in control. Everybody coming up on me saying, I'm submitting to you. I'm going to do it your way. Thy will be done, thy kingdom come. I got to say that. And I got to believe God. And I got to want that. God, this marriage that I'm having a problem with, tell me and help me to bring your kingdom into my marriage.
That's real.
Bring your kingdom into the way I parent. Bring your kingdom in the kind of employee or employer that I'm. I need to bring your kingdom in. Help me. Read scripture and the Holy Spirit reveals things I need to work on, whether it's in my family, on my job, in my neighborhood, in the church. Dear God, I want you to rule and reign in my life. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. I want better. We need to be working on a better world right now. Amen. Now, so that means there are some things we can do to make some progress. Amen. Tuesday is something you can do.
Amen.
To make some progress.
Amen.
If you ain't already voted and you registered, I just told you this when you had time to register. Then you can go and do the vote booth, make some progress. Make our society a more just society. Whoever you vote, I don't care who people vote for, but try to vote for the person you think will bring about a more just society.
Right.
Because there are some injustices in our society.
Amen.
Anytime you separate children from their parents, injustice. When innocent people, amen, fall victim, not to crime, but to those that are supposed to be fighting crime.
Right.
We need a more just society. So many things are wrong in our world. We need a more just world. We can make some progress with our involvement if he's reigning in our lives. It won't be perfect, but we ought to get some progress. Find a way to make a difference. That's why we work at the pantry. I'm trying to make some progress. Somebody's hungry. It ought not, and a Christian ought not be able to just see people with food insecurity.
Right.
And children, right. Amen, that have to go to school and you know they on food stamps, amen, or lunch ticket. I was on lunch ticket when I was in school. But see, what about Saturday and Sunday when you're not at school?
Right.
What are you going to eat on Saturday and Sunday when they ain't on lunch today? They ain't on line again. You got to think about those kids. What about those parents? Amen. Who's doing all they can? They have help from the government. They're working on jobs sometimes, but they're not making enough. And sometimes their food run out before the month run out.
Right.
But if your food run out before your month run out, it's a good thing that on the third Thursday of the month, you can come by and do a little bit more to help you to make it to the end of the month.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
Or maybe somebody will come by you, a neighbor, or a friend, or somebody behind you in the grocery line. They got the cone of blessing.
Right, amen.
And you don't see how you're going to make it. But they say, that's all right, I got you. Make a better world. That's why we talk about the things that we're talking about. That's why we're talking about domestic abuse, because we got to be a better world.
Amen.
We got to do what we can to make our world better. That's why we want to encourage our kids, amen, that we want to help them out a little bit we can to go to college because we want a better world.
Amen.
Let me close one story, then I'll let you have it. A young lady, we're going to call her Ruth. Ruth was going to Sunday school. And I said she had a Bible, and kind of a Bible, 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 Amen. As you learn so much about the Bible and growing as a Christian. And we've had a problem, though. Because she lived in a neighborhood that didn't have a vestry, had environmental racism going on. Things polluted in the atmosphere that wasn't good. That gang violence. Sometimes people say, well, no reason why people in them kind of neighborhood because they're too lazy to work. You ain't always too lazy. Sometimes you're working all you can. Just not enough. But Ruth, doing pretty good. She's learning more about Christ, going in Christ. Teaching her, discipling, teaching her. But one day she came and said, I need a haircut. I'm being pressured in my neighborhood. There's a gang of people that's pressuring me. Because what they, she was attracted, really attracted young lady. Said, they want me to go into prostitution for. Because it's real violent gang. Amen. And I'm, I don't know if I'm going to be in existence because they threaten me if I don't get involved. She said, teacher. You know, teacher. You know, disciple. He couldn't really identify those situations. But he come from a neighborhood where no crime like that. It's little crime, nice houses. Everything quiet. You know, no gunfire at night. Everything quiet. No sirens and everything. Why? So he said, "Honey, yeah, this, oh, it's gonna be all right. Just say no. Just say no. You may have to go get some help. Just say no. Don't do it. Don't do what they say." And he had said it just he was in the kind of a session before he was about to go on vacation. Just say no. Don't do that, girl. Just say no. So he went on vacation, came back. He knows she wasn't there. Okay. So whatever happened to Luke? She don't come no more. She don't come no more. So, time passes. He found her running across. He said, what happened? Why come you don't come anymore? He said, well, I gave in to her. Why did you give in to her? Well, first, they beat my father up. They beat him up pretty bad. And then they threatened him, I'm stealing him, go with him. And then they beat my brother up, so he's in the hospital. I still didn't want to give it. I still didn't want to go with them. But then they said, if I didn't go with them, the whole gang of them was going to force themselves on my mom. So I gave in to them. You give in to them? Why can you call the police? He said, the police is the one that's doing it. When you live in that kind of world, he wants to say, God, come, Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. We can work to make it better, but it ain't going to all be there. And you get so tired sometimes of injustice in the world that exists. You get so tired of the hurt and the pain and the misery and seeing kids in pain and families in pain. You just say, we need a better world. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. A better world starts with a better you.
Amen.
And that's what I'm asking you, that you can come. If you want to be a better you, because that's where a better world, that's where a better family starts. That's where a better work atmosphere starts.
Right,
with a
right.
better you. Man. A better plan starts with a better you. Yeah. If you don't know Christ this morning, if you're not one of his followers, if you are not, can't be categorized as one of his children, I want to ask you this morning if you would come and make the first step to accept him and become a better have something to do something. But don't come. I invite you to come and become a better you. Sometimes people, we look at people and say they're doing bad things. Write them off for sometimes. They're not doing bad things because they are bad people. wound.
Come on in.
So hurt.
Yeah.
So in pain. We just can't find the ability to do what's right. And we write them off. But God didn't write them off. But He got enough grace.
Yeah, yeah.
Hallelujah. The change in the body. We need a change. I know you can change anybody. Draw that breath to yourself before it's ever too late. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.